I saw Barbie and I thought it was a fucking masterpiece. And like, I don't throw that word around lightly, but Jesus Christ, right? I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't even that excited about going. It's like, it does a fairly amazing thing to create a sort of broad-based entertainment product that applies to the entire spectrum, I think primarily of women, and then just seep it in progressive politics and basic feminism in a way that's funny, informative, and well-executed in a context that is completely engaging is fucking monumental. It shouldn't be, but it is pretty radical. And it's, you know, intentionally, thoroughly explaining feminist ideas in a way that's funny. I just never seen anything like it. And I guess that's, you know, the world is having the same experience on all different levels. And the comedy about men is inspired. And the fact that certain men took offense to the point where they, you know, tried to build a grift around it in terms of their narrative as right-wing is so embarrassing for them. I mean, so embarrassing for them. Any dude that can't take those hits in that movie, they've really got to look in their pants and decide what they're made of. I mean, Jesus Christ, what a bunch of fucking insecure babies.
Pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Yeah, you are. Look at you sitting there listening to The Left Show. Good job. I am delighted with today's lineup. I have Tiffany.
Hi.
It's good to see you.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad that you could find time for me.
I know.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
And Taylor.
Hello.
Who was off for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You did a race?
No, that was before. Was it? I don't know.
I think you did a race, you came on, and then it was your birthday, and then
Yeah.
So of the last four, this will be two.
Yeah, sorry.
No, we just miss you when you're not here.
Yeah.
That race you is are... intense, though.
Ugh.
How was it?
It was good. It was good.
That was your half marathon?
Yeah.
It's insane.
And
that
I
you
have
do
another
that.
One coming up at the beginning of September. Haven't been able to run because of that fall down the stairs.
Yikes.
Ouch.
So.
That's how are you going to train?
I'll be fine.
All right.
You just do
I
it.
I believe you.
Just be fine. It's
I don't know how.
Fine.
I don't know how.
I'll start running this week.
I can't even run to the mailbox.
I'll drive. I'll run this week. Gauge my butt bruise, and I'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're amazing.
I just worry about you.
I mean, it's like 3-4 weeks away. I've been running like a lot up until just a couple weeks ago, so I'm not worried about it.
So you, however, ran to the Barbie movie.
I did. I saw it like the opening weekend because I didn't have anything to do.
Ah. What'd you think?
It was really good. It was really sweet. Made me cry like everybody else. I loved watching all these women in pink.
Yeah. Everybody else, you say?
Okay, I'm so sorry. Normal people.
God damn it.
How did you find
you're
the
not
movie,
normal? Dave?
I didn't cry.
You know what? I've been really depressed for the past month. Oh, I'm so sorry. I've been really depressed for the past 3 months. Uh-huh. So
yeah,
I cry about a lot of things. And it wasn't the spots where normal people were crying.
Right.
This was different spots that I was crying.
I didn't get emotional at all at any point. I liked the monologues, but in my defense, let me set it up because we got there. My friend who I was with immediately fell asleep with her mouth open. Like this. and snored like the entire movie.
You can't not pay attention to that.
And I'm like, yeah, because I wanted to, like, you know, you want to watch it with somebody and like laugh and whatever. Anyway, she fell asleep and then I could not sit still. I had restless legs. So I like would get up. I was feeling antsy. I'd got up, walk to the back and watch for a little bit. Then I'd sit down. Then I'd walk up back again. So I need to see it again. I didn't cry. I got a little bored, but I did love all the monologues. Like, I feel like a bad feminist.
I mean, if I'm being honest, it was a little too long too.
Yeah.
For me, it was a little too long.
Yeah. It could have been shorter. I love, love the Brandi Carlile song, the Indigo Girls cover, Closer I Am to Find.
Okay.
That was redone by Brandi Carlile and it's amazing.
Closer to Find is literally my favorite Indigo Girls song.
Yeah.
And the only one I know how to play without sitting down and having to try and remember.
That's right. You haven't done that for a long time.
No, but when Mike came out to visit, we serenaded you with that song first.
Did I know that though? Did
you,
I know?
You didn't know. You didn't know Indigo Girls.
I didn't
Girls
know Indigo
yet.
Girls until like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
So, but yeah, we did that song. That was the first song he and I learned how to play together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we would when we were out in Denver, and we go out and hit the open stages. That's usually what we'd open with there at the beginning. You know, we quit playing it after a while. There was one night at a bar called the Twin Towers Lounge in Thornton, Colorado. Twin Towers, Two Towers. Might have been Two Towers. Anyway, there were towers.
Okay.
There were water towers out in Thornton, Colorado. And it was a cowboy bar. It was an absolute fucking cowboy bar. Yeah. It looked like the one from... Oh, what was the Belushi movie with Aykroyd? Blues Brothers. It looked like the one where they played Rawhide. Now, I didn't know how to play Rawhide. And we did a couple of, you know, cheese weenie folk songs, and everybody was giving us the hostile stink eye.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel menace in the room. And I kind of look at Mike. Mike kind of looks at me. And you got to remember, I'm, what, 18 at this point?
You're young.
Yeah, and I'm playing in a bar because they just assume because I'm tall that I'm old enough to be there.
You look old enough.
And I look over at Mike. Mike looks over at me. He's like, follow me. We're in C. And I'm like, okay. And he starts playing a Bon Jovi tune, you know, on a steel horse I ride. And the crowd fucking just, whoop. Hey, we love this song. Play it louder. Go home. Get a gun. Like that. And we're like, oh, thank God. And he's all, you know, dead or alive. And we're going, I don't know the song. I don't know this fucking words. I don't know any of it. So I'm just kind of watching his hands playing along, you know. But we got out of it alive and put together a different repertoire after that so that we could be more flexible when we went to the open stages. And then I came home back here and packed and then talked my little brother into moving me out to Denver on Christmas Eve. So I showed up at Mike's house unannounced.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely
on Christmas
unannounced.
Eve?
On Christmas Eve. And I'm like, I live here now. Move.
What a dick.
And yeah. He's all.
No, his poor wife.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Terry and
man?
I got along great. Terry and I got along.
Yeah,
great.
You think. And
no, we do. No, we do. We checked in. We've had heart to hearts. And that goes into some personal shit that I can't really do when we're recording. But yeah, no, Terry and I get along great. And
that doesn't mean she was thrilled that you showed up.
No.
Not even
worse.
A little.
No.
They were living with his parents.
He's like, no,
and they were
she loved it. She was so happy that I was there. She welcomed me. She was excited.
No. We get along.
Good.
But yeah, no, he
I
was
just left the room.
He was living with his parents.
Nope.
And I lived down in the basement with his dad, Howard's Library. For a couple of weeks until I got a job washing dishes at a place called Paris on the Platte coffee shop. I was a dishwasher for a little while, and one of the baristas was a gentleman named Everett, who, if you guys pop over to theleftshow.com and hit one of those down menus for Tell Me a Story, I did Tell Me a Story with Everett, because Everett ended up working for fucking Pixar and DreamWorks.
I know who you're talking about. Okay.
But he took me in and gave me a place to live for a few months until, you know, I ended up moving in with a girl.
Of course.
I am who I am. And
it's always a girl.
Yeah. But we're friends again, me and the girl. That's very nice. It's very nice. Regardless. Closer.
Cool.
Closer to Fine. Wonderful song. Isn't it? I'm not even high.
It is. It's so good. Love the song. I awesome.
Am. I'm sober as a tick.
Anyway, I made ChatGPT or whatever. Make it as though... Wait. I did this at brunch. Tell me a story like a millennial about September 11th, no. 2001. But tell no. me it like I'm a millennial talking to Gen Z.
Oh, no.
Can I hear it?
Yeah, give me some.
I'm so sorry. I just left. Okay. Hey, Gen Z crew. Gather around and let me... Gather round and let me take you back to a time before TikTok dance and Visco filters. It was September 11, 2001, a day that rocked our world and changed everything.
God. Fair. That is fair.
So picture this. Okay. People were just going about their day, probably playing their Tamagotchis and listening to their portable CD players.
Motherfucker.
Wow.
Got me.
I mean, Tamagotchi.
Like, also, guys, this was like at 7 a.m. in New York.
Yeah.
Nobody was awake playing their Tamagotchis.
Nobody was playing their Tamagotchis. They were neglected.
When suddenly chaos struck. Two planes crashed in the Twin Towers in New York City, and it was like a scene straight out of a disaster movie. But this was real life, fam.
Fam. Nice.
He's going to say brah.
Back then, we didn't have smartphones or social media to keep us instantly updated. We relied on chunky TVs and dial-up internet to get the latest news. It was a whole different vibe, trust me. Everyone was in shock, trying to process what was happening. We couldn't just tweet our thoughts or post on Snapchat to express ourselves. We had to rely on face-to-face conversations, maybe even write in our diaries to let it all out.
Holy shit, did you see that?
But here's the thing, my Gen Z peeps.
Nice, nice.
Even in the midst of this tragedy, people came together like never before. We saw firefighters, police officers, and everyday heroes stepping up to help. It was time when we realized the power of unity and resilience. Sure, things changed after that day. Airport security got way stricter. And we had to take off our shoes and go through those full body scanners. It was a whole new level.
My favorite thing of the last 5 minutes was how you slowly put on a Southern accent.
I didn't even notice. It was a whole new level of inconvenience, but it was necessary to keep everyone safe.
Bullshit.
September 11th, 2001 was a day that shook us to the core. It was a reminder that life is fragile and that we should never take any... Anyway, so my Gen Z squad, let's remember that day and honor the lives that lost by spreading kindness, empathy, and using our good platforms for good. We've got the power to make a difference. And all I could think
when
I was
reading this... We've got the power.
All I could think of reading this is like the two things that brought this nation together. September 11th and Pokemon Go.
Fuck yeah, Pokemon Go. Fuck yeah. Jesus, I got caught in that for about a month.
Yeah, you
that
did.
Was nuts.
I remember playing that stupid game just to like have something to talk to you about.
I had campaign money and yep. We were a gym.
Yeah.
And so or a Pokestop. We were a Pokestop. And we were about 300 feet from a gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would load gems, I think. I can't remember. It's been a few years. To make the Pokestop blink and stuff.
Yep.
And people would come in to catch Pokemon.
They would all the time, too.
And we'd wrangle them as volunteers.
Yeah.
It was fucking
genius.
It was.
You're so smart.
And then all I did after that was just load up the Pokestop because I didn't play anymore. But I went with the kids a few times. I lost one of my kids once.
I remember going to Costco with you on a campaign run and doing the Pokemon in the Costco.
Yep. I like that one way better than September 11th.
Also, yeah. I forgot to end it the way they did.
Oh, okay.
Stay woke and keep shining, fam.
Motherfucker.
I don't think they wrote it in my voice.
No, that's why you changed your
that's
voice when you were
went
reading
to
it.
A southern
fail. Anyway, that was my fun today and learning riddles.
That's good. That was better than the headlines that we're about to read and talk about.
Yeah. Maybe we should have another 9/11 bring us together.
Jesus. That's dark.
That's dark. Oh, you guys are dark for a Monday. A Monday morning.
Look, I've been dark for a long time.
That's
38 years I've had to deal with this. It's coming out.
I cannot believe that. I can't believe you're that old. That young.
That old.
You look like you're in your 20s, both of you.
You really do.
So,
you do too. I thought we were like both not our age.
No, I never would guess that you were 38. Well, ever. I would think you're in your 20s too.
That's fair.
Nobody thinks I'm in my 20s. I have a 20-year-old.
No.
My boobs hang down to my knees. Nobody thinks that.
And I fall downstairs.
Yeah, you fall downstairs.
Am I
with
in
mini
shape
corn dogs? Look.
Weird.
Right now. Wait till I start running again. I went roller skating yesterday, though.
That's fair.
So where'd you go?
Just Liberty.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Let's do some news.
Okay.
New details reveal that California Representative Eric Swalwell. I'm sorry, what's going on?
What is the camera doing there?
I'm feeling very, like, why is there a camera
towards the bed?
And towards, yeah, that actually.
It's not. It's supposed to be sitting on top of this monitor. I guess it fell. I don't think we need to play with it now.
Did it?
Okay.
Let's get back to the thing. Okay. New details reveal that California Representative Eric Swalwell did not hold back when criticizing Speaker Kevin McCarthy last month, calling him a name on the floor. According to the Daily Beast, the heated exchange stemmed from the events of 21 June, when Republicans voted to censure California Democrat Adam Schiff. As Democrats chanted shame at their colleagues across the aisle, Mr. Swalwell, standing near the speaker's podium, had something to say to Kevin McCarthy, one weak-ass speaker of the House. So this is pathetic, Swalwell allegedly said to McCarthy. According to two members of Congress who spoke to the outlet, you're weak. You're a weak man. Mr. McCarthy looked like he, quote, had a vein popping out of his forehead, end quote, one lawmaker told the Daily Beast.
Oh, I bet he did.
Another said the House Speaker stared down at Swalwell for 10 seconds before deciding to walk away. Fair. Fair.
He's not going to win.
Give him a little stare.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, man.
I'm an angry Kevin McCarthy.
It's like, this is my mom's stare. It didn't work.
So now, if you will, let's take a break from the news story and let me paint a picture.
Okay.
So Kevin goes home to whatever place he lives, probably in fucking Georgetown. Douche. You know, he undresses for the night. He probably doesn't floss. You know?
He wouldn't.
Changes into his pajamas because he seems like the kind of guy that would wear pajamas.
But like a whole ass set.
Oh, yeah. A matching set.
Yeah.
Pinstripe and shit.
Yep.
Buttons.
Yep.
Not fun ones like underoos.
He's like unbuttoning his button up his shirt when he's like, I'm so mad still.
Yep. And he thinks about it and he ruminates on it and he lays in bed all night and he just thinks about it and he ruminates on it and then he gets back to work the next day and he's thinking about it and he can't stop thinking about it. Then we get back to the story. The next day.
Next day.
The beef between the two lawmakers intensified just before Indian Prime Minister Modi gave a joint address to Congress. Swalwell was right outside the chamber on the Republican side when Mr. McCarthy reportedly spotted him. McCarthy said, if you ever say something like that to me again, I'm going to kick the shit out of you.
Okay.
Another lawmaker expanded on this, recalling they were in each other's faces, basically nose to nose, and Rep. Swalwell said something like, are we really going to do this? The House Speaker. Swalwell would kick his ass.
Yeah.
So the House Speaker then allegedly threatened Swalwell, saying, call me a pussy again, I'll kick your ass. Both lawmakers speaking to the outlet recalled the next words from Mr. Swalwell identically, quote, you are a pussy. But Mr. McCarthy,
what are you going to do?
Mr. McCarthy did not fulfill his promise, and instead the two congressmen stared each other down before McCarthy stepped aside.
I could just see a big grin on Swalwell's face, like, just like, okay, you fucking asshole, what are you going to do?
I absolutely will.
Oh no, the Speaker of the House is going to do something.
He's going to kick my ass.
Oh no.
So, Senator Tubberville, has been fucking with promotions in the military. Especially flag and general officer end. So the high-ranking shit. Like, for instance, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, we have no commandant of the Marine Corps because Tuberville keeps blocking it because the military is like, oh, you need an abortion? Yeah, we'll ship you off to a base where we can do that. Nice. In a state where we can do it.
Nice.
You know, oh, you're trans? You want to transition? Yeah, we're in the military. We'll do that. You're still going to stay and fight, right? Okay, yeah, good, good, good. Yeah, whatever you need. That's what the military's like.
Right.
Right? Tuberville's like, no, I don't want it, so nobody gets a raise. So Biden has decided not to relocate the headquarters of the United States Space Command from Colorado, where we all know them from Stargate when they go in the mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where Space Command is, I think. It's probably actually on fucking Carson. But anyway, Tuberville's been trying to get it moved to Alabama for who the fuck knows why, to Huntsville, Alabama. And yeah. Yeah, Biden's like, yeah, I think it's going to stay right here.
Good. Oh, no.
Yep, he called the decision, and the Pentagon announced Monday that Biden had decided not to relocate headquarters from Colorado Springs to Huntsville, Alabama, calling the decision, quote, an objective and deliberate process informed by data and analysis, period, end quote. Tuberville's over here going, what the fuck, man? Calling it a disastrous mistake. And claiming that Biden was playing politics by picking Colorado, you know, where all their shit already is. No,
but why? Why Huntsville? What's the con? What's the pro there?
That it make Tuberville have a lot of people in that area.
Nobody wants to go there.
Yeah.
No, it's
they're the
Huntsville.
One that are playing politics.
Fucking Alabama. Who the fuck wants to go to
I forget
Alabama?
About Alabama after the first time I say Alabama in 50 nifty United States. Like, that's not a state anymore.
So, yeah, Tuberville's claiming that Biden's playing politics by picking Colorado, who voted for the president, by 14% in 2020 over Alabama, which he lost by 25%. Thing is, this is not a game that Biden plays.
No.
If the military wanted Space Command in Alabama, he'd be like, okay, we'll mm-hmm. put it in Alabama. It's, you guys are doing the job. I'm just the boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know? As opposed to Tuberville's all just being an asshole.
Not getting their way.
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
oh no,
pediatricians! Oh, for fuck's sake!
I don't think anybody want to go to Alabama anyway.
Nope, I'm going down there to Bama. Red Tide, Roll Tide, Roll Tide,
Roll Tide,
Roll Tide. Red Tide, Bama. Something different.
You do if you're a Bama Rush. Did you watch that Bama Rush?
No,
not that I watched it either.
I don't know what that is.
Reality TV.
It's a reality TV show about women pitching. Do you pitch? Do you? What is it?
You have to submit. Yeah, you go through a whole process
to be in a sorority.
Oh God,
it's so intense.
I was in a fraternity.
I didn't know that.
Phi Rho Pi. We were the debaters. That's what we did.
Sweet.
Phi Rho Pi. It was a fraternity / sorority. We were mixed.
Ooh, I'm
woke is what we were. We just didn't know yet because we hadn't figured out what that meant.
It meant nobody wanted to join them. So they had open it up.
Everyone was welcome.
The other debaters did. Look, I did the Greek. I just didn't do it with all the, you know, binge drinking and date raping.
No, you didn't.
No.
Then you didn't do the Greek.
Yeah, it's probably true. It's a little different.
Yeah. We had a rolling beef with, I believe it was either Sigma Nu or Sigma Chi. I think it was Sigma Chi. But we used to go, whenever we would go somewhere to do a debate tournament on the college tour, we'd find their fraternity house and steal their signs.
Yeah.
and then ride home in the bus with them. Nice. And I ended up with like 7 sets 1 year. It was awesome. Because fuck them. They were all very expensive signs. A couple of them were too fucking heavy to take with us, so we ended up just hiding them somewhere else.
At what point do you just make them foam?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. Never stole them twice. Mm. So yeah, if you were at any of the colleges in the Western region and your sign went missing, it wasn't me. The American Academy of Pediatrics has reaffirmed its support for gender-affirming medical care for the transgendered children on Thursday, even as treatments face a growing push for bans and restrictions from Republican douche canoes all across the United States. The board of directors for the group, which represents 67,000 pediatricians, unanimously voted to reaffirm its 2018 position on the treatment. The board also voted to provide additional documents to support pediatricians, including clinical and technical reports, and to conduct an external review of research regarding the care. Quote, the additional recommendations also reflect the fact that the board is concerned about restrictions to accessing evidence-based health care for young people who need it, said Mark Del Monte, the Academy CEO, in a statement released by the group, calling for restrictions enacted by states, unprecedented government intrusion. We therefore need people, we need to provide the best and most transparent process possible. With 21 states having now enacted laws restricting and banning gender-affirming medical care for minors, transgender minors, and most of those states face lawsuits. Federal judge has struck down Arkansas's ban as unconstitutional. Federal judges have temporarily blocked bans in Alabama, again, and Indiana.
Hmm.
Yeah. Get out of the, when you guys, when we passed Obamacare, and it was, you're going to get in between the doctor and the patient. That's all Obamacare is. And then we did it, and it wasn't. And now they're like, oh, this is how you get in between the patient and the doctor. Why'd you guys fuck it up? That's about all the Republicans think.
Yeah. Well, that's how they get it to the people's ears.
Yeah.
Because they're too stupid to think for themselves.
And to finish off this segment from Providence, Rhode Island, Nicholas Alahavardian.
That's a name.
It really is. That is just a bunch of consonants with just a random vowels thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like most words. A convicted sex offender accused of faking his own death to avoid a rape charge in Utah can be extradited to the United States from Scotland, a court ruled on Wednesday. Since his arrest in December 2021 at Glasgow Hospital, Judge Norman McFadden of Edinburgh Sheriff Court. Yeah, but Sheriff Court. I want to go to Sheriff Court. I don't know why that's funny, but I want to go to sheriff court. Listened to the asshole's explanation for why authorities had the wrong man. I don't know if you guys saw the video of this a few months ago. Oh, he's just this fat dude, fat American, ugly American, and he does an interview, and he's got a mask on, and he's in a wheelchair, and pretending that he's sick and close
yes,
to dying.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
And he's out here with the worst English accent he's ever had. You've never heard anything
just like
worse.
Breathing.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, no.
No.
So, yeah, he's been using a wheelchair and an oxygen mask.
Yeah.
Oh, what a piece of shit. The hospital staff took his fingerprints so that a Utah prosecutor could frame him. So we're told. For Aldebaran's crimes. On Wednesday, the judge called the fugitive, quote, dishonest and deceitful, as he is evasive and manipulative. These unfortunate facets of his character have undoubtedly complicated and extended what is ultimately a straightforward case. Well, I don't want you in Utah, but because it's really easy to get away with that kind of shit here.
Yeah.
You know, but at least there's a prosecutor paying some fucking form of attention. All right, let's take a break. We're a little long. We get back to the second side. We're going to talk about Florida.
Ugh.
Florida.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does, including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com, D-E-F-E-N Media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Good.
The last maybe 3 years.
Sister Wives.
Is when I really got into Sister Wives.
He is so ugly.
He's so awful. And he's ugly just, and he's awful.
It's like these women are like, and they're no spring chicken, but like, ew.
He's terrible.
Jesus told me to marry him.
Yeah.
Jesus is an asshole, apparently.
Jesus can go shove it up his own butt. Cody's disgusting, though. And he, like, he's one of those people that grows out his hair to make it look like he's not bald.
He's so bald.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad.
It's bad.
I'm so happy, like, a lot of the wives are all leaving. They're, like, getting married. They're doing their own thing. It makes me very happy.
It's like a feminist evolution, that
show.
Yes,
I love it. It makes me very happy.
Yeah.
But how long did it take to get there?
So many seasons. Like, 19.
Kind of like America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's the knee jerk on that? Does he marry more or do they come back?
I don't think anybody's going to marry him anymore.
I don't know.
Anybody looking to be on TV would probably marry him at this point.
Yeah.
But
they'd
I don't know.
To have Robin
what
as a sister wife.
They'd have to have sex with him.
He's a contractor? Is that?
I don't know what he does.
He's on reality TV.
Yeah, he did. He did have like a construction company or something.
It's just weird.
I don't know.
Once they get to so many years, they don't have real jobs.
Right.
That's it. They lie.
Yeah.
Because you've never seen him work, right?
Nobody's seen him work.
Yeah. Probably doesn't.
His wives haven't seen him work. Jesus.
Little 2 minute, one thrust wonder fuck.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do love the Kardashians, too. I'm not going
to
lie.
I won't watch them. I think they're horrible to society. They really fuck up women's ideals of what they're supposed to do. They're blackfishing constantly.
Oh, God. Like, okay. I shouldn't have brought it up.
I don't know what that means.
Horrible humans.
But you bet they are.
Horrible humans.
I will still watch Kardashians.
They are the people that give women and children standards that are unrealistic, followed by saying, you should just love yourselves the way you are.
I know, right?
Like, and it's disgusting.
Hashtag no filter.
It is so disgusting.
Hashtag plenty of filler.
That being said, let me tell you my favorite things about Travis Barker and Courtney being married. Travis Barker has a book that he wrote a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, he talks about how hot Kim Kardashian is.
No, I didn't know that.
And he's married to Khloe?
Courtney. And he can't take that back. It's already in the book.
Courtney the tall one or the short one?
Shorter. She's the pretty one.
She's the oldest.
She's the one that won't use, she won't even use filters anymore. She's just like, whatever.
Oh, she was the one with the divorced, the white guy.
She never married him.
No, oh, he was, just got but married. He was just a Klingon scumbag, right? Scott?
I loved him.
Oh, she never married Scott, but
she really hated everything about them. He's like, do you want some water? And the mom's like, let me tell you. He's like, I don't need your life story. I just asked if you wanted water.
I love Scott.
He just sucked me as a guy who was hanging around because he was adjacent to bank accounts. That's how I took him.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of money, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had a lot of money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sorry, Scott. I didn't know, buddy. I guess you're just in it to win it?
I just hate that. I just think they're such bad people.
They got, like, 5 kids together, right?
No.
Three. They're just such bad people. They're awful people.
This is the weirdest Left Show we've done in a while.
I know. It's, yeah.
We just can't watch it. Gordon Ramsay, like, what's the mom's name? Chris. She posted a picture with Gordon Ramsay, but she filtered the fuck out of it, and then he posted the same picture.
I love
and
that.
He didn't filter it.
Nice.
It was so great. It's
go
like,
Gordo.
Oh, no.
Oh, Gordon Ramsay.
Horrible women.
You guys want to do some news?
Sure.
Okay.
I guess.
We can talk about Barbie some more.
Okay.
Big week Big week.
Huge week.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted for a third time.
This is just like an ongoing thing, though.
It's like, yeah, what? It's fucking Tuesday. There's an indictment. But the Justice Department notified Trump on Tuesday that a grand jury had voted to indict him over his efforts to hold on to power following his loss in the 2020 election, including his actions leading the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. He's been summoned to appear federal court 4 p.m. last Thursday. He went.
He went? He went?
I think he went. This is an old story. Maybe it'll show up here in the rest of the... We got an awful lot on this one. But yeah,
I would simply
Justice
not
Department
go.
Charged him with four criminal counts stemming from his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. He's been summoned to appear in court. DOJ has alleged that six co-conspirators, including attorneys and members of Congress, worked with him. This is the third indictment that the former president and current 2024 Republican frontrunner has faced this year. A state prosecutor in Georgia is also investigating Trump for his efforts to overturn the elections there. He is currently being charged with 78 felonies.
What?
Between all the indictments and cases that have come out so far. He is 77 years old.
Wow.
That's, one for each year you're born.
Yeah, 1.01 for each year he's been alive.
Wow.
Isn't that creepy as fuck?
It is. It really is.
It's like, yeah, maybe, go ahead, give the quarter away, but okay, so it's a witch hunt? All right. Why are you constantly the witch?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying is get out of the outfit, be a better person, and maybe, nah, people are still going to sue his ass because he's a piece of garbage.
He's not supposed to break the law at all. That's on his terms, right?
He's not allowed to talk about the case. Mm-hmm. He's not allowed to be an asshole. He's not allowed to intimidate. He's not allowed to jurors and stuff like that. And he did it anyway.
But
to the point that Jack Smith, which we'll talk about in a minute, has applied for a protective order against Trump for he and his staff.
Insane.
Yeah. Because he popped up and said something like, if you come after me, I'm coming after you.
Yeah.
Jack Smith's like, we're not going to fuck around with this. Like that guy.
Yeah.
I really do. But he pleaded not guilty.
What?
He was fingerprinted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally.
I know.
No, again.
I thought he wasn't the first time.
Nope, he was. He just wasn't arrested. He didn't get a mugshot.
Just going to throw this out there. Jeb Bush, this might be your time to shine.
Please clap.
Clap for me. Please clap. I was just going to say that. Please clap. It's time to clap. Clap, please. I love that. That was the best Jeb Bush moment ever.
Okay, Tinkerbell.
So the indictment charges Trump with conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction, and conspiracy against the right to vote and have one's vote counted. Trump appeared before Magistrate Judge Maxilla A. Motherfucker. Up at Hayaya? Up at Hayaya. Yeah?
Yeah.
Looks like it. Anyway, at the courthouse, Trump also faces charges in a separate case brought by special counsel Jack Smith, in which he's been accused of mishandling the nation's secrets since leaving the White House. In addition, the former president was charged by Manhattan's district attorney earlier this year in connection with hush money payments to the adult film star, I would just say sex worker, Stormy Daniels, ahead of the 2016 election. And then was found liable in the rape case. And E. Jean Carroll, who right after that happened, he went and did his town hall on CNN and talked shit on her. And so she sued him again.
Yep.
And the judge is like, you betcha. That's exactly why we sued him the first time. And he's not supposed to do that. It's very embarrassing.
He's not embarrassed.
No, but he is very embarrassing. Two Michigan allies of former President Donald Trump, including former Republican state attorney general candidate, were charged in connection with an effort to illegally access and tamper with voting machines in the state after the 2020 election. Attorney Matthew DiPerno was charged with undue possession of a voting machine and conspiracy. Dare Rendon, former Republican state representative, was charged with conspiracy to commit undue possession of a voting machine and false pretenses. Special prosecutor DJ Hilson announced in a news release both were arraigned Tuesday afternoon, according to Richard Lynch, the court administrator. Michigan is just one of at least three states where prosecutors say people breached the election system while embracing and spreading Trump's lie that the 2020 election was stolen. DiPerno, who was endorsed by Trump in an unsuccessful run for Michigan Attorney General last year, acknowledged in a statement that he was arraigned Tuesday, but his lawyer said that he, quote, categorically denies any wrongdoing and looks forward to the date when his innocence will be demonstrated in a court of law, blah, 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 end of quote. Blah, blah, blah. Fuck you, piece of shit. You broke the law. You broke the law. You bragged about it. You texted about it. There's a plenty of fucking paper trail for you, you guys, you fucking assholes.
But no, I didn't. Prove it.
Yeah, but it's not wrong.
Prove it.
Somebody
why'd you
said
get
I
in,
could do it.
Why'd you get in my stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. So during Robert Mueller's investigation into Trump's Russia scandal, Trump was so terrified of the probe that he ordered the firing of the special counsel. And then Bob Mueller. Trump backed off, not because he realized that it was ridiculous, but because his White House counsel threatened to fucking quit. They're like, if you do it, we're done. I don't know why that stopped him. I really don't. The man has absolutely no barometer for bad behavior.
No. But,
yeah, in 2023, another firing is on the mouth of Donald Trump. He wants to fire another special counsel. It's very much on the former president's mind. Conservative Washington Times reported, quote, former President Donald Trump said his plans for his second term in the White House include firing special counsel Jack Smith. Mr. Trump pointed to Mr. Smith's unsuccessful track record of prosecuting politicians, though Mr. Smith's charges against the ex-president have yet to be adjudicated.
What?
In an interview with Breitbart News, Trump said, I wouldn't keep him. Jack Smith? Why would I keep him? He's deranged.
Prove it.
Yep.
That's all, like, you can't just, you can, I guess. Yep. You can't just spread lies because you're loud.
He does.
Then on Friday, Trump popped up and said they ought to throw deranged Jack Smith and his thug prosecutors in jail. To the extent such details are relevant, he didn't explain who they might be what exactly the special counsel and his team might be charged with. Trump has a habit of calling for the incarceration of all kinds of people who stand in his way. As recently as 2020, the then president called for both Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden to be locked up for reasons he never got around to explaining.
Convenient.
I would like to do that. Just yell, like, when people piss me off, you should go to jail.
You need to be in prison.
You should go to jail. Oh, my God.
Yep. Prosecutors on Friday night called the judge's attention to a social media post from Trump. In which they say the former president appeared to declare that he's coming after those he sees as responsible for the series of formidable legal challenges he is facing. Attorneys from special counsel Jack Smith's team said the post from Trump specifically or by implication referenced those involved in his criminal case for seeking to subvert the 2020 election. In a court filing just before 10 p.m. Friday, senior assistant special counsel's Molly Gaston can't do it. Haven't even seen the movie, and the fucking song's going through my head. Molly Gaston and Thomas Windham alerted the judge in Trump's latest criminal case.
No. Gaston, like Belle?
Gaston. Gaston was from the
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
No.
He's got a song.
Fights like Gaston.
That's the one.
Like Gaston.
Okay.
Yep. I don't. I mean, I know the premise, which is basically a father sells his daughter to bestiality for some reason.
That's not right.
No.
He does not do that.
Who sends her to bang the beast?
He gets locked up and she's like, take me instead. He's old.
And then they both escape. Like, yeah.
They get, yeah.
So the beast's house is jail?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you get in trouble, you're going to go live with the beast?
Oh. Yeah, you have to go live with the beast in the nice house where you get food and stuff.
And clothes.
And all of the furniture fucking sings and shit.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
But she was still, she was a prisoner.
And turns out she's the real prisoner is when she finds out what he looks like when he's human.
I know.
And then you're just
cute.
Like, oh no,
it
go back.
Better the beast.
Maybe he's a pleasure dom and she found something she liked.
I don't think that's the thing. That's it.
Disappointing.
Oh, so disappointing. It was so disappointing.
Yeah.
Google it. Just go on with the story.
Okay.
We're very bad today at news stories.
Molly Gaston and Thomas Windham alerted to the judge.
No one fights like, okay.
If you go after me, I'm coming after you, Trump wrote in all caps Friday afternoon on Truth Social, which is doing better than former Twitter. The prosecutors said Trump's post raised concerns that he might improperly share evidence in the case on his social media account, and they urged that he be ordered to keep any evidence prosecutors turn over to his defense team from public view. He won't. He won't. He absolutely won't. Mm-mm. So, what do you? Oh, allow ads? Should I allow ads? I suppose I kind of have to. It's very annoying. What is ad block for other than to let me know that I'm not blocking ads because I can't read anything when it's turned on? So, yeah. Yeah, Trump opened his yap and did the thing that the judge told him not to do. And he did it anyway. And the judge is having none of this shit.
Good.
Yeah. Smith said the proposed protective order was not overly restrictive, noting it would still enable Trump to use discovery materials in his defense. Quote, all the proposed order seeks to prevent is improper dissemination or use of discovery materials, including to the public. Such a restriction is particularly important in this case because the defendant has previously issued public statements on social media regarding witnesses, judges, attorneys, and others associated with legal matters pending against him. And in recent days regarding this case, the defendant has issued multiple posts, either specifically or by implication, including the following, which the defendant posted just hours ago. That was the come after me, I'm coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
Trump spokesman said, I don't know why you're all upset.
You guys, this isn't, it's, I just, he just wrote it online.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
It doesn't matter. It's
here's like, his, I mean, they, you can find his address online. It doesn't like matter.
Somebody raided a fucking pizza shop with no basement to get into the basement. I mean, what are you guys talking about? All right. Let's take a break. When we get back on the other side, we're going to wrap it all up.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
So, watching the World Cup this week,
yes,
has been more difficult than previous weeks.
So frustrating.
But I figured it out.
Okay.
The problem is that I figured it out so late that the game against Portugal,
yeah,
had already been spoiled online for days,
yeah,
before I found the replay. And then we were watching, and don't say anything, we were watching, was it Denmark? U.S. versus Denmark? No.
No.
Netherlands? No.
No.
They were tall and blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was Denmark.
Was it?
Might have been Netherlands. Okay. I don't know. We had to stop because you went to church.
Preach.
So, oh, huh? My Lord.
I said preach.
Yep.
That's all. I was preaching.
My dad
preaching.
Doesn't say, or my dad, instead of saying when people go preach, he likes to go choir.
I say,
and I say choir now.
All right.
Yeah.
God is good.
Oh.
I'm not saying it.
Why?
Because I hate that show.
I know, but you always said it after me.
It made you happy.
I know, because it's so funny. God is good.
And then they say
all the time.
Boo.
What is it?
Greenleaf.
Okay. It's awful. It was so bad.
It's a horrible name.
It's about a super church that's in competition with other super churches. And then there's lots of naughty stuff going on. And
why do we only talk about the shitty shows that I watch and not like the good shows? Like, I watch good shows.
Yeah.
Name one besides Ted Lasso.
No Reservations is what I'm watching now. That's good.
Is it Bourdain?
Yeah, Anthony Bourdain. Mm. Love all of his stuff.
Yeah. What else have we got?
I have...
That's what I thought.
Benazir Bhutto.
Who?
The documentary about Benazir Bhutto.
No, we're talking about TV shows. Not documentaries.
I like Car.
You watch some deep, deep, dark fucking documentaries.
I really do.
You love Women in Peril.
Yeah.
The fact that you're not hooked on true crime blows my mind a little bit.
No.
You know, listening to murder podcasts. No, but, I mean, it's just thing. Like, if there is a society that is oppressive to women, and a documentary about that, especially with a female protagonist.
Yeah.
She is on it like a bonnet.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I love them.
Because they make me sad, and it's I don't like watching things that make me sad.
It's real life.
Yeah.
Welcome to real life.
My real life bums me the fuck out already.
Me too. Mine, not yours.
I do not need to pile other people's misery atop myself.
It makes sense. I get it.
That's why, like I said, it's like I watched Schindler's List. We'll never watch it again because it bummed me the fuck out. You know? It's like I am already on the right side of my attitude. Okay. I studied it in college. I got a degree in this bullshit. I don't need to poke the wound, poke. I can't stand it.
Would you read about it?
Oh, yeah, quite often.
Because the tattoo of Auschwitz, the tattooist of Auschwitz, is so good.
I have read that one.
Have you?
Yep.
Yeah, good. Yep. Great book.
I have a book. I believe I mentioned it last week. I have a book I need to read. Mm-hmm. It was given to me by a friend that I am not in the mood to start. I'm grabbing the book for those of you that can't see. And my buddy Rob gave me this and told me to read it.
Oh, I know.
No, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You guys keep it. I'm
going to read the book.
You are going to read it?
Well, I'm absolutely going to read
it. Yeah.
But I know how it's going to fuck me up.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not currently in an emotional state to where I think I can handle it. You know, if it was just etymology, I could probably just burn right through it.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be.
I don't even like thinking the word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's by Randall Kennedy. I cannot say the title. I will not say the title.
I will think the word, as I would say it. But I don't like saying the word and thinking about how you say the word.
Yeah. So basically what I'm saying is that if you've ever read some old Mark Twain, it's the words in here a lot. But I told him I'd read it, and so I got to read it. And I like that he brought it in a bag that's not see-through for me to carry it around because he knows.
How scared you would be to carry that book around?
Terrified. And not for like criminal reasons or anything like that, just because... The word has always made me wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The history and connotations of the word, all bad, you know. But what I'm told is it's deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I am interested in reading it.
Right.
But every time I see that word, every time I hear that word, but every time I see that word, you know, written down on a page, it's like somebody punching me in the forehead.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, what am I doing? Am I avoiding it because I'm, you know, a sensitive 90s ponytail guy?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
It's true. Yeah. It's absolute. That's true.
So I am.
Why else avoiding are you avoiding it? It's a word.
It's a terrible word. You know?
I agree.
But then again, hang on a second. Can I have your permission to use the word?
Cunt is not a bad word.
No. I would read a book called cunt.
People will say cunt.
Yeah, I don't think cunt's a bad word.
I mean...
It's what I figure. It's like
depends on who's throwing it.
Usually it's like people are being called bitch now, and there's like, okay, cunt is the new bitch.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, that's offensive.
We bought a sweatshirt that says, don't be a cunt cake. It's awesome.
It is nice. Awesome. It is. No, I just, you know, it's just how I am. You know, I don't like being uncomfortable. You know, life makes you uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable every day.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to practice for it. It's going right. to come anyway. So, you know, that's just it. I mean, I gotta read this fucking book. I've had it for 3 months.
I know. You could finish it in a day if you really just read it.
No, I'm afeard of it. Oh. Oh, well. I'll try to read it this week. Will you remind me?
Yeah.
Because I forget. Because comic books are a thing.
Comic books. Over here.
No.
And it sits out.
I don't want to sleep next to it.
Yeah. Then it's just sitting there.
I don't want to see
the title. I don't. I really don't. Just burn a little news.
Okay.
We only have a little bit left because we're just going to wrap up the week a little bit. But Ron DeSantis popped up with an optimistic message.
Of course he did.
Yeah, big, happy, smiley guy. He's like, you know what I'm going to do on my first day to make things better for everybody else?
Tell us.
I'm going to start slitting throats of federal employees. Rawr! Or I should say,
does he not notice he's a federal employee?
He's not. He's a governor.
Well, I mean,
he's
like,
a state employee now.
Is he going to kill himself? Is what it means.
No, but he would have when he was a Congress critter.
I wish he was in Congress and he slit his own throat.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one to watch.
Now.
I'll bet he wins that debate.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, DeSantis is vowed to start slitting throats on day one. Florida Republican was in New Hampshire on Sunday when he made the comments about getting tough on the deep state, the thing that doesn't exist, because it implies the lefties, liberals, Democrats, you know, and the progressives all get along so well, we could keep a secret government secret.
Yeah.
No.
I can't keep a secret at all.
The only thing that Democrats are good at keeping secret is sexual impropriety by elected officials.
Yes.
And even then, they're not
that
great at it.
Good at that.
Mm-mm.
They're really bad at punishing it.
Yeah.
Yo. So, DeSantis is pitching himself as a hardliner as he bids for the 2024 Republican nomination, with polls indicating that he is lagging over 30 points behind President Trump right now among GOP voters. During his 3-day trip to the primary state, the governor spoke at a barbecue in Rye, hosted by former GOP Senator Scott Brown. There's a bag of shit. Anyway, New Hampshire Public Radio recorded it all. And DeSantis said, quote, we're going to have all these deep state people. You know, we're going to start slitting throats on day one. Because inflammatory language
doesn't mean anything anymore.
No, it does. And that's the thing, is that
sure?
It fuels his base. And then mm-hmm. his base commits atrocities.
Oh, I mean, like, slitting throats to him means nothing anymore.
Yeah.
No.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
I mean, and that's the thing that drives me nuts about the guy. Yeah, he was in the military, and I respect military service for the most part. He was a fucking JAG lawyer in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he put out that commercial where he's dressed up in all pilot gear and all the Navy retired Navy pilots are like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You lawyer piece of shit. You know? That's all. I just... Tim Scott is running for president. He, 40-year-old virgin. Did you know this? He brags about it.
He's a what? Virgin?
He brags about the fact that he's never been married and therefore is a virgin.
Okay, Lindsey Graham.
I wonder what his boyfriend thinks of that particular.
Shit.
I'm not saying if you're a 40-year-old virgin, you're gay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I think that Tim Scott has a lot of Republican skeletons in his closet.
Yeah.
With That's Lindsey all. Graham.
You know what? He's too good looking for Lindsey Graham.
No, I'm saying they're not boning.
But both.
I'm just saying they both have a lot of closets.
Yeah.
They do. And Lindsey Graham's closet, I am pretty full, is full of gowns.
Yeah.
It's spilling out. His closet's spilling out.
It's like, Jesus, all this taffeta. What's a boy to do? That's my Lindsey Graham.
Taffeta.
It was pretty good.
It was good. I liked it.
Taffeta. That's I know taffeta thick and shiny, is. Right? No?
No.
What's taffeta? I just know it's a material.
Yeah.
I don't know what taffeta is. So Tim Scott of South Carolina has more political money than most of his Republican presidential rivals, and he's been spending it. But nobody knows where it's going. Because suddenly a bunch of LLCs popped up that started receiving checks from Tim Scott's campaign, and they're all brand new. Nobody knows what they do. So basically what he's doing is he's banking money. He's opened up, or he or his surrogate has opened up a bunch of LLCs. They dump a bunch of money into it, and the money just sits there, and then they can use it for campaign expenditures, because you can talk to a company, but you can't talk to a PAC. Like anybody fucking obeys right. that fucking rule. You know? I may be the only guy who's never actually, while running a campaign, coordinated with a PAC that's worked in politics.
I'm trying to think of the campaigns I worked on. Maybe, yeah, probably.
And mostly, no, I didn't work with PACs because I have an inflated sense of my own talent, and I don't need them. I don't need your shit on-brand, off-brand messaging that I didn't help you come up with. My shit's better. Christ, I couldn't even work with the advertising agency with the last place, the last campaign I ran. Why? Because it was garbage. It was beautiful, beautiful garbage.
Yeah.
Everything they put out. I mean, I remember once we did a press release, and they kicked it around so much inside of 2 hours that when it came back, it said nothing. It was polyspeak that just ran around in circles. And I read it, and I read it again, and I read it a third time, and then I shot it to everybody and was like, what does this say? And all I got back was a letter from the candidate saying, could you please be nicer to the advertising agency? And I'm like, we're paying the advertising agency
a lot of
$5,000 base a month plus everything else. That $5,000 is just so that we have access to them. It pays for nothing. So they spend 2 hours writing a bad press release, you know, that I rewrote in less than 2 minutes. And made much better, I might add, you know, because it actually addressed whatever the fuck issue we were talking about, you know, and they charged me another $1,000 for that. And it's all they do is put together really glossy cover letters for candidates that lose over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And so the more aggressive we got, the more the advertising agency's like, hey, man, when you lose, because they're used to them losing, when you lose, you still have to deal with these people. You know, that's what we got for $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
So what Scott's doing is just dumping all of this money, almost six, seven grand. Tell you where my paycheck's at these days. And so he spends all of this money at the LLCs, but the LLCs don't seem to be doing anything with it. He's just banking. He's just banking money. It's technically illegal, you know, depending on what the companies do with it. But nobody's going to do anything. I told you, I've told you at least, I think, the story of when we had, I was running a congressional campaign back in the early 2000s, and the candidate was a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And while he and his job and the department that he ran did not receive federal monies, but the department itself received federal monies, we asked the Federal Elections Commission via letter, hey, here's the situation. Here's the breakdown. Are we in violation of the Hatch Act? Right? Send it off.
Oh, yeah.
When Hatch Act violations would happen, or people would bring it up, we're like, hey, we sent a letter in the FEC. We haven't heard back yet.
Yeah.
We're clear. Mm-hmm. 2.5 years later, 2.5 years later, another election cycle for Congress has come and gone. We get a letter from the FEC saying, nah, you're good.
Thanks.
That's what the Federal Election Commission does.
Yeah.
It sends really, really, really late letters.
Very late.
Mm-hmm. That one was funny. That was very, very funny. Anyway, Tim Scott, crooked as fuck. And like I said, nobody makes it to 40 as a virgin and brags about it. Do they?
No.
No.
Yeah, even church folks shut up after 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of Florida... Leprosy looks like it's endemic in Central Florida now.
Oh, great.
Yep. It's surprising.
Also known as Hansen's disease, is becoming endemic in the southeastern United States.
And we're just like, oh, well, that sucks.
It's like that just makes sense, though, that it's in Florida.
Yep. Yay. A research letter in the journal Emerging Infectious Diseases, published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, says Central Florida accounted for 81% of cases reported in Florida and almost 1/5 of the cases reported across the entire United States.
Somebody send Jesus.
Yep.
We need him.
Quote. Leprosy has been historically uncommon in the United States. Incidents peaked around 1983. and a drastic reduction in the annual number of documented cases occurred from the 80s through 2000. However, since then, reports demonstrate that a gradual increase in the incidence of leprosy in the United States, the number of reported cases has more than doubled in southeastern states over the last decade. In 2015, experts blamed armadillos.
Really?
Okay. Yep. What's this one?
I don't know. They're probably going to blame woke.
Yeah.
You know, can't be that the, you know, the Republican government is just so fucking gutted healthcare that people are getting
leprosy.
And then in an odd little story, country singer Craig Morgan rejoined the Army to boost recruiting because recruiting's at an all-time low right now. So on Saturday, a 59-year-old country music star, Craig Morgan, whose songs include Redneck Yacht Club and That's What I Love About Sunday, re-enlisted in the Army Reserve during a live show at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. Morgan previously served 17 years active duty Army and Reserves and will now serve as a celebrity recruiter for the force at a time of sagging recruitment for the military. Quote, I love being an artist, but I consider it a true privilege and an honor to work with what I believe are the greatest Americans, my fellow soldiers.
He doesn't even have to go and do anything.
God bless America. Go Army.
It's like, don't be fooled. You guys have to do things. He doesn't.
Yep.
He doesn't.
Nope. It's like, I mean, you didn't see fucking Elvis storming the goddamn beaches of Normandy, did you?
No.
No. I mean, some of those guys were, those World War II actor types were fucking badass, you know? But not you, Elvis. Not you. You pretty-faced candy ass. Anyway, you know what? Good for him.
No.
I'm not mad.
I am.
You're mad at him?
He should offer them something like a secret EP.
A what?
Secret EP on his next album.
Oh, I see. All right.
Secret All right. song. Mm-hmm. You join the Army, you get to hear it.
There was a the
that's actually better. That's
the soundtrack to the X-Files TV show, the first CD they put out, and old CD player tech, all CD player tech is old. But at the time, it started out with track 1 through track 12, but it had a track 0, and not everybody's CD player would let them back to that track, which was Nick Cave,
really?
Red Right Hand. That was track 0
on the X-Files app.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I had that CD for almost 2 years before I spent time with someone that had a CD player that could go back to the secret track.
Oh.
And that's where I first heard Nick Cave, The Bad Seeds.
Yeah.
And Red Right Hand, which cool. I fucking love.
Love Nick Cave.
Yeah, it was one of the best musical cues in Ted Lasso.
Yep, it is. I love that.
Yep. Yep. So that's end of show, gang.
So welcome much to news. It.
We burned some news.
So much news
Look,
today.
I don't give a shit. This is the most fun I've had in a few weeks.
Well, Patreon's going to be the best then.
I dig it. Oh, Patreon's going to be great.
Because there's some good stories in there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. So we're going to go over to Patreon right now at patreon.com, patreon.com, / DFEN Media, DEFEN Media. I know you guys don't need me to spell this anymore, but it's a habit at this point. But if you could just pop over, join us at Patreon. It's a small amount every month that helps us pay the bills. Basically, I bring in enough now to pay for half of the annual bandwidth that we burn for the shows. So, you know, we're always looking to up recruitment there on the old Patreon, patreon.com/DFNmedia. If you need a t-shirt, I was going to wear one of my Left Show t-shirts, but it's in the dryer.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, you got good t-shirts.
Yeah, we got great t-shirts. They're at theleftshow.com. I appreciate you guys listening every week. And then, of course, Tiffany, thank you so much for filling in this week.
It was fun. Thanks for having me.
Taylor, great to have you back.
Glad to be here.
This has been a red letter day. Red letter day.
Super fun.
Yeah, it really has been. All right, we're going to go do Patreon right now. So do me a favor. Do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com, DFEN Media. This episode and more, always available at www.theleftshow.com.